please open your hymnbook as always, and number 255, Blessed Assurance. Once again, from Bethel Baptist Church, we come live to your home via the internet, and a very special evening service, special for Bethel Baptist Church. Number 255, Blessed Assurance. In the name of Jesus, our high priest. We have a full day of church services, Bible studies, choir practice, another service in the town, in the Pacific Hill place. Lord, we have busy people, like a family. Even at lunchtime, we all together in Jacqueline Box, we feel the store, Father. And I feel like Moses, Israel, follow me all the way through. It's so good, Father. It's so good. After hearing divisions and problems and difficulties the churches have, Lord, how wonderful it is when we share the love of Christ, that we can glue together like a family. Now, tonight is a special night. We like to tell the Dulilos thank you for their ministry. Thank you for using the gift you bestow upon Marilyn and their children, and for the wisdom you give Ken to help us on the Board of Deacons. Thank you, Father. And we pray that as they will join another church in time, they will feel the presence of God, and that you will open a door again for the family to be used in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to say thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to choose to number 449, which imply that we're going to give glory to God tonight because we have been blessed for years of the presence of the Dulilo family with us, and for their gift into the ministry of music and their gift and participation. Brother Greg, come in. Secret words between pastors. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Nothing is going to blow up, okay? 449, to God be the glory.
Thank you. those children
the last opportunity to sing in the pastor's choir. All right, so all come on. All right, 479, Jesus loved me. All the children here with the pastor, all the little choir and the other children in the church, you know I love her. All right, come on, Tricia, come on. Come on, Tricia, number one, Tricia, the star of the choir. All right, right here, son. Okay, good. All right, we're all here. Come on. All right, we're here. Oh, even Mark. All right, look, Lucas, wow, that's good. Well, look, you turn around, Lucas, and we go, it's in the hymn books in 479, Jesus Loves Me. Okay, here is the famous choir for the history, all right?
Jesus loves me, yes, I know.
Famous choir is transferring some of the members to a church in Idaho for a year. All right. I keep saying for a year, and I'm praying for that. All right. Let's open the scripture this evening. Thank you, Raquel, for playing. It's a lot of things doing, and so I shorter the half-hour musical for looking into the scripture. From time to time, people leave the church for many reasons. And we all know that tonight, we will say goodbye to the Dulilo family with prayers that God be with them and keep them wherever they go. I would like all of you tonight to use this opportunity so that you know what the scripture says about people leaving churches, all right? They are a negative part. There is a bad way to leave a church, and there is a good way to leave the local church. And we're going to study that tonight for about 10, 15 minutes. We're going to look in the scripture. There is a bad way to leave the local church. Number one, there are people who leave the church because they love the present world more than the church itself. And if I go to somebody and say, have you given the tithe and the offering to the church? And the person says, I don't like it. I know that person loves more the world than this. But it's in the scripture. Let's go to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 4, in verse 10. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, in verse 10. Here's a guy who left the church because he loved the present world. For Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10, has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescent for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Demas left Paul, not to do another work, but because he loved the present evil world. And there are people like that, that they love more themselves than the church. And so they leave the church. Another case of bad leaving the church, there are people who leave the local church because they were not really of the Lord. 1 John, go with me to 1 John at the end of the New Testament, in chapter 2 and in verse 19. I want you to know that already in the first century when this letter was written, there were people who departed from the local church because, after all, they were not of God. They went out, says 1 John 2:19. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. In other words, some people depart, and you wonder why, so that the pastor and the other people know that these people were not really Christians. They were not of the Lord. was so much. That's the two places in the Bible that the Bible tells us why people leave the church. Either you are not a Christian and you're fed up with the church preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God, or you love more this world than yourself and the church, and you leave the church. Now you want to hear the good part. People who leave the church, leave the local church in a good way. Some people leave the local church to be missionaries. Let's go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 to 3. Some people leave the local church with the blessing of the church to be missionaries. The Bible says in Acts 13 and in verse 1, now in the church that was at Antioch, that's in Syria, no, in Asia, just about Jerusalem, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. These were among the people, these were the people in the church. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what a good teacher that church had, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fast and pray and lay hands on them, they sent them away. And there are people like that. There are people from a congregation. After a while, they felt the call of the Lord, and they moved them away. And it's amazing. That's the way it is. That's the hardest thing to do. You leave to how many missionaries we have supported that were here in America. We have our brother in Guatemala. He's from Mexico, and his wife, I don't know if she's from Guatemala or some of Central American countries. He was well established here as a cook, earning good money in a church in San Mateo. And then remember that he told the testimony. He left here to go to Guatemala to preach the gospel. Now, secondly, there are some people who leave the local church because they were sent out as supporters of the church. If you're in Acts 13, go to Acts 15. And I'm going to read from verse 19 to 28, a little longer, but you will see Acts 15, verse 19. Here are people. Here was a remarkable situation. The church in the north, in Antioch, has certain liberties. And the church in Jerusalem, we call the mother church, thought that they were wrong. And after analyzing the whole thing, they find out, no, the church was right. So what kind of rules would a church have? These are the first time in the history of mankind they have only one church, Jerusalem, with maybe 30, 40,000 people. And now what are we going to do with this little church in the north? How are we going to control it? Well, they learned that you cannot control it. The Holy Spirit control it. But they have to have a guideline. This is the very beginning. Nothing was written. So after the approval of the elders and the approval of the congregation, here's the decision. And this is in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 19. Therefore I judge, and this is James talking, the pastor of the church. Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. This is the first time in the history that the Jewish people see some people believing in the God of Israel. And they say, no, we thought that we were the Israelite, the prince of God. These pigs, Gentiles means pig, these pigs also will come into the kingdom. And look at what happened. Amazing. Verse 20, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by the idols. That was a practice of the Greek. From sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is not new. Sexual immorality. From things strangled and from blood. They were drinking blood of the animals. That's another process of idol. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church. See, things need to be approved by the elders, by the deacons, and then by the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter to them, by the apostle, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Sicilia. Greetings. Since we have heard The some who went out from us have troubled you with words and unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seems good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seems good that the Holy Spirit and to us, for it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well, far well. So here are people who are sent by the church to another church, sister church, to say, these guys will strengthen your life. In the Bible, as you keep reading, they spent 3 years in the church. They spent 3 years, and the church of Syria was the first church that sent missionaries to the world. You are saved because of the church of Syria. Now, who will think Syria today and Syria then? The church in Antioch in Syria sent, who was the missionary they sent number one in Europe? Who was it? Come on. Paul. Paul was sent not by Jerusalem. Paul was sent by Syria into the world. So you can leave the church because you go into the mission field. You can leave the church because the church commissioned you to do a work for the church and stay in that church and stabilize a given situation. But there is one more. Some people leave the local church because they were sent out to a new location in peace. Let's look in Acts 15, 32 and 33. Acts 15, 32 and 33. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, they were in Syria now, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. And they were sent back with peace, said the scripture, to the apostles. In other words, after you stay a while, after you serve for a while, you move on in peace to another location. And that's what happened tonight. That's what I think filled the scripture tonight. I feel the pain of a family of such a caliber to leave the church, but I feel the joy that this family leave this church in peace to another location. And we will pray daily if necessary until their feet are on the ground. You know how it is to move another place, but it is a joy to leave a local church in peace to go to another location. That's why we have a festival tonight, rather than having a funeral, really, because we should all be crying. But we do not cry because the scripture said there are some people that God in his mercy, you borrow from God for a while, and after God, send it out. And I think moving to a new location, we will say together, in peace, they may go. Our church have hold them, Marilyn and Ken and the children, and they have been peaceful to us. We are peaceful to you, folks. We love you with all our heart. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord open the door soon, as he did to us. Marilyn and Ken do not came with an agenda to our church. They fit into our agenda because they fit their spiritual mind. And that's the way you go to a church. You don't go to an agenda and impose an agenda. You find a church that fit the agenda that is in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And thank you for being with us. And thank you for being such a testimony to our life. And now the choir of our church will sing.
When the Lord started moving and moving us, this song became the song of my heart. See how silly this is? I shouldn't have done this. Anyway, I hope that you can understand the words, because if I read them now, I'll never get through them. And I'm a little afraid that we're never going to get through them. But we'll do our best so that you can listen to the words. And okay.
It is not easy. It is not something that I don't think that the little plan, but it's something that God in his mystery has allowed to them. As I say in the morning, I pray for both of them that the house will be no soul. Russell got the penalty. They got the, okay. Now I want you, as a member of Bethel Baptist Church, to come and briefly, at least two men to come, or ladies, and say a few words to Marilyn and to Ken and to the children, and how much you appreciate them in your heart. All right, you just come here, so we are recording this, and later on send a CD to them. All right, And maybe I want to start with the Noriel Jr.'s family. Both of you, come here. I know that Dana can't speak, but it's okay. It's also an expression. When we cry, it's an expression of our heart, and it's beautiful. All right.
When they first came to this church, we didn't have any kids, or we were about to have a child. And so we had no idea what we were doing. It was our first child and trying to raise them in a Christian home. We had no real guidance or wisdom. And
well, you did, but I didn't.
Right. Well, so.
I wasn't raised in a Christian home.
Right. Well, Ken and Marilyn came, and they had a head start on us. They already had four children. And so we're thinking, wow, this is kind of neat. You know, we can talk to them. And when Marilyn gave, when they gave us a testimony about how the Lord, how the children were blessing from the Lord, and that the Lord owned her womb, it was really convicting for us. And so, as a family raising children, it became kind of a model for us, and it really really helped guide us in the way that we were going to raise our family. So, in Psalm 127, there's a very very powerful. It says. Unless the Lord buildeth the house, it is builded in vain. And then it goes on to say that as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children to their fathers. And the key verse there is that happy is a man whose quiver is full. And if anyone's quiver is full, it's a Doolittle. So we had Devin and our it was almost like we thought, okay, the Doolos had a baby, we had a baby. We were kind of having, and then the Kongs came, and they had a baby. So it was kind of a stair-step thing, and it was a beautiful blessing to be having children, and children with children of families who you are all of the same mind, and your kids who grow up together. And so for that, we are so thankful to have a family like that here, and to see the rest of us grow together as a family, growing in the Lord. And having our children be best friends, it's the biggest blessing in the whole world. And we're really going to miss you. And Dana wanted to share a couple of things.
Some thoughts I had over the years when we've been blessed with your family. The Lord has been so good to us and your family being here. I was thinking of, every time you're invited over to the Doolittle's house, Ken would always say, well, we better clean behind the refrigerator. They're coming over. Or he had to clean his shed. So it was always kind of a little thing that he always said. And it was just kind of funny. And but you always knew when we were going there that refrigerator behind there was going to be really clean. And then there was a time when we all went to Santa Cruz together. And we were all walking together. The Kongs were there and us and the Doolittles and... I might have missed some people, but anyways, we were walking all together at one time, and then we went to pull off to the right to go to the lockers to get our lunches. Well, two of our boys, Billy and Andrew, started to walk off by themselves, and we had no idea. We got our lunches, and we're walking along, and all of a sudden, we looked, and we're like, where is Billy and Andrew? Well, they had just moseyed off, and they were following the pigeons. So Marilyn and I embraced each other and we prayed, and you know, we were at Santa Cruz Boardwalk, millions of, you know, lots of people, and she went one direction, I went another direction. Thankfully, her girls had walkie-talkies, and so we were able to connect with them, and they found them as they were walking down the boardwalk, and it was just, you know, such a blessing that at that time when we were, you know, embraced one another, and our boys were missing. So. But I'm just so grateful that the Lord has given your family to our church. We're so blessed with the music and our fellowship and love for one another. We're going to miss you dearly. And I know everybody feels the same here. And the Lord has his reason for moving you. And I know that as he moves you, you're going to be a blessing to others in Idaho. And we'll be praying for you. And Lord willing, we'll be able to come and visit you. Soon. So, and I, you know, I know my boys are really going to miss your boys, and Devin's going to miss Gracie. So anyways, we look forward to when we can come and visit, and we look forward to you coming in December.
We love you.
I was sharing the news with my girls, my granddaughters, and And Emma said, oh, no. You mean the house over there, close to the other? Yeah, oh, no, she was saying, you know. I said, Emma, you just give a phone call to them, you know. It's just amazing. I never have such a good dinners as Raquel prepared good dinners, and she does take care of me. But each time we were invited to the Dulilos, remember the first time there was a lamb? And I mean, real lamb. That kind. Oh, man, good. And we were enjoying there. And the last was fish. It was a salmon. And it was delicious. Thank you, Marilyn. And the keys are just wonderful. They have a dog that I really like. They jump. They can jump. Remember that dog? They jump to the top of and destroy you and everything that went on. But just, I think that's what they're giving away or something. But it's a... it is good. Now, I want to make a clarification on the scripture our brother have quoted, which is perfectly. He said, blessed is the man who has his quiver full. Quiver is an arm holder. And how many arrows in a quiver? 12. So, families of God, those who have 4, 5, 6, boy, you have a way to go. And... yeah, that is true. All right, one more. They want to say something about that Dulilo want to testify from your heart and appreciation to the Dulilo family. All right? I already did with the Dulilo family. Let's talk about the tough choir director, because I come here about 4:30 back and I see everybody like this. I can imagine, you know, poor Ken jumping when his wife talking. But you need to be tough to be on the leadership and for good. And the choir have become better and better to the point they asked me, when you hear on the radio, they put the volumes and the reproduction and looks like a choir of 1,000 voices. Somebody said, how many voices? 1,000 or a little less, 800. You know, and you can duplicate on radio and do same voice 10 times. And so that's what they do. And so the choir feels like it looks like a recording things. One person who told Marilyn, thank you for being our choir director. And I'm going to choose the person who gave more hard time to Marilyn. Victor, come here.
I would just like to thank Marilyn. You know, we joke around Marilyn being a choir director, but It is truly hard work. I just see my wife is gonna, you know, kind of step in until God brings, you know, possibly another person. It might still be you for a while, honey. But just the time that Darlene's taken, you know, to listen to music and to, you know, to go over the scheduling and things of that nature, it's a lot of time and dedication. And you know, Marilyn, I know you didn't do it because you had to, and I know you did it because you love God. Amen. And you wanted to spread the gospel through music, and we all know that in the choir, and we truly appreciate that. We're gonna miss your emails. I'm gonna miss replying back to your emails, but. One thing I can say for me as a personal testimony, just having to, you know, this is the first choir I've ever been in where you were actually had to memorize the songs. I know Ann Noriel, if you know Ann Noriel, she's pretty much a semi-professional singer, or professional, forgive me, Ann. you know, she mentioned to me, wow, you know, there's not too many churches that make the choir memorize the songs. And in doing that, people that know me, I like to listen to a lot of jazz, which is probably not so godly, you know. And in memorizing the music, it has taught me to listen to godly music, you know, in my car when I'm driving, because, you know, I have to memorize it for Maryland so I don't get in trouble, you know. So I really appreciate that, Marilyn. You know, even in my own life now, I find myself, believe it or not, putting in a choir CD sometimes and listening to it in my car. And so I just thank you. Thank you for all the hard work and efforts, and also I have fond memories of for you, Ken, of going to Manuel's. It's a restaurant we go to have our shrimp, and going on the beach. I have very clear memories of boogie boarding with Amy. You know, because Amy was the one who would always go out there in the water and be in the cold water with me. And it was great. I'll never forget the memories of going to the beach. And I concur with Dana. You know, he had to clean his back of his refrigerator and his shed clean, and then also blowing his yard. I will never forget that. And I'm sure you'll be doing the same in Idaho. Oh, and having the car washed, yeah. So thank you for the fond memories. I'm sure God will be with you. And I quote the verse, I'm paraphrasing it, just in our Sunday school lesson today in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, right? Do not be sorrowful, but go thy way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and be joyful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I thank you.
Thank you again, Victor. And again, another correction on the text. When when God said, eat the fat means eat Mexican food. And blah, blah, blah. All right. Now comes, out of the choir came people who are gifted, a lot of people in the church who are gifted with music. They're just gifted. And so Lara has been a great instrument to pick up the pieces and leave those young people to perform, if you want to use the word perform, but to praise the Lord with their gift. And so Lara, once again, going to praise the Lord with their gift, and right here with the music God has given as a result of these creative work that Madeline has done. All right, Lara, wherever you are, just come. Years and years ago, these young people were little, and they grew with us. As Jovi said, there were only four of the Dulilos, and Jovi had none, and so on. And now we have the blessing of, and Victor has none, and then the church has the blessing of seeing their children growing in the Lord, which is the greatest blessing a person can have. When you're in a pastor's conference, and as I said in the morning, it's entirely different. A regular conference. The pastors will bombard you as you walk out of the pulpit outside to eat again. They will bombard you with questions. Well, how about young people? Is any young people run with, did your young pastor run with one of the girls? Well, they run, I said, but not in the way that you think. I said, why? I said, how many pastors? 15. I said, 15 pastors for the young people? How many young people? Maybe 20. Why 15 pastors? Every father is a pastor of your own home. And that's the secret. Don't get fooled by these entertainment setups where you have 300-400 in unknown people coming into your area, and poor young pastors among very beautiful girls, they're going to get in trouble. That's nature. And it's good that we keep, my mind is every father is in control of their home, and every home is different to the other home, so what? But every father should have full control of their home and full pastorship. And I'm proud, these young people are not the product of one day. They are the product of families who have dedicated their life and believe the children are a blessing from the Lord. The moment has come to say real thanks to these people. So I want to ask Marilyn and Ken to come here, and Pastor Thomason to come here too. And Pastor Thomason, on behalf of the church, will say thanks to Ken and Marilyn. And the church thoughtfully, truthfully, going to give you a gift for both of you.
Big box. Before I make this presentation of the gift, which is from the church, just want to make a couple of comments. One of the things is,
okay, you can sing.
No, I really wanted to give you some CDs of my best hits. Couldn't find any. It's a very small CD, but it has been a pleasure to have Ken and Marilyn to be leaders here among us, and to remind us of the joy of music, to remind us the reality that God is so incredibly big. You know, we're all individuals. We operate everything differently. But we have one God, and we serve one God. And so we do have a gift from the church for some funds to help you guys out on the way. And when you get there, some funds to help you out get started. We also have a gift from us to you guys too. We do not want you guys to forget us. So we've got some stuff for you guys for that. Because if you do forget us, we're sending you CDs. This is just a few words and a few pictures. So this is a gift from us to you.
Oh, this is so nice.
Thank you. This couldn't be any more special. Oh, that's... Much
to even say. We do appreciate their wonderful presence with us for how many years? 10?
Almost 12 years.
I remember the day that Ken walked in the parking lot and I said hi to him, and that was the day he settled for our church. That's one visit to our church and he settled. So people, enjoy this in your home and in your trip, look over. Let's give another hand to them. Let's pray together. Father, we have come this evening to say goodbye to a family that we love so much. We know they have been a blessing to many, and to this pastor has been a tremendous blessing. Their respect for me, their coordination with me, their submission to the pastor. Lord, I cannot ask for better. But Lord, as you send them out, and as they go to Idaho and the place they chose to live, Father, bless the place, protect the place, put the umbrella on every one of their children, and lead them to a church that will believe and teach the living word. Now, Father, tonight we said, Lord, put your love in their heart. Father, put your grace in their way. And Holy Spirit, guide them every step of the way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.
Yes, you're going to speak. Yeah.
You know, the Lord leads us. And sometimes we just have no idea why. And my fear is that I'm never going to know why he called us to leave and move on. And I know that God has good things for us. God's blessings are abound everywhere. But it's really hard to imagine that there could be a family so wonderful, a family of God more wonderful than you people have been to us. And our hearts are really hurting and feel very empty to leave. So thank you so much for everything.
You know, it's funny how things work. You do your best in life and you follow the Lord, or you think that you're following the Lord, and you work real hard in your job, and you put your head down and you do all the things that you think are right. And what happened to us was we hit a wall. This was mostly with me in my work. And I spent 5 years trying to climb over the wall and really put myself in a spot where things weren't happening the way that they were supposed to happen, that I thought. And I would pray and I would cry out to the Lord, and it wasn't changing. And I didn't know it, but God was working through that. And God showed us that we're supposed to leave. It wasn't something that we really wanted to do at all. And with what's happened, we've seen God's hand leading us in so many different ways since this decision came about late this summer to make the move. And we know that this is what God wants us to do, but it doesn't make it easy to leave the people that you love. And Marilyn said it right. There isn't anywhere in the world that we could ever hope to find a group of people that are of one mind like this, that really love the Lord, that really love us, and we really love you. And I don't know how we're ever going to replace that. I don't know if we should even try to replace it. But all I can say to each one of you personally is just the biggest thank you for being our friends and loving us, and we love you, and I just don't know how else to say it other than that. This book, the pages are going to be broken off of this book in a week. that means so much, and your love and your care for us and your prayers for us, and I don't know what else to say. So thank you. Thank you.
A nice refreshment together, they will walk first, and I for a second. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you that tonight, even painful, is a night done with love. Bless the food, bless the hand that have prepared. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, all the Bonillos first. Come on, boys. You can go first today.
Jim was saying,
Yeah, you too.
Then you're going to say, let's leave his church so we go first.
Yes, Holy Spirit.